Aren't you thankful for His Word? Amen. You ever been somewhere you didn't know where you were or where, how to get there, and you were so thankful for a GPS? Amen. So thankful, you know, in the there's a thing called Onyx Hunt. It's an app that you can download. You know, it's good for hunting and things like that, and it shows you all the property lines, shows you exactly where to go and different things, and I'm so thankful for that, you know. It tells me where to go to stay in the boundaries, to keep safe, to keep from getting into trouble. That's God's Word right there. Amen. You know, we don't know how to get certain places in life. We might be stuck in a rut financially. We might be stuck in a rut physically, you know, symptoms and things that won't go away, or stuck emotionally and mentally and things with our family and our kids, and we just don't know what to do and where to go. Thank God for the GPS. His Word will bring you out of it. Praise the name of Jesus. Well, if you have your Bible, you can go to John chapter 6 and verse 65. If you don't, we'll have it up on the screen for you. John chapter 6 and verse 65. Thank God for the Word. Father, help us this morning. Lord, You know what needs to be said here. Excuse me. Now, Father, I know that I have a starting place in my spirit. And I know where You're leading us today, but Father, I don't know everything that's going to be said. I don't know all the utterance that will come out. But Father, we have been believing You for boldness and utterance, so I thank You that it'll manifest itself here this morning. And when I open my mouth, Lord, I thank You. I'll speak words from heaven. And Father, it'll be words in season to every single person in this room, every single person listening on live stream, and every single person that will listen in the future via the archives. For Father, Your words are life, and they are help unto us. So Lord, I thank You I will speak as the oracles of God today. My tongue will be like the pen of a ready writer, as the psalmist of old said. And Father, I will say things this morning that will strike a chord in every single person's heart here today, specific to the situation, circumstances, and different things they're facing in life. And Father, it'll be so supernatural because, Father, I don't know what everybody's going through. I don't know what everybody's facing. I don't know what everybody, where everybody is in life, but You do. And Father, only You can take one message to a room full of different people with different things going on in their life and meet the needs of every single one. Only You can do that. And Father, it'll be a sign unto people that You love them, that You're real, that You have a better plan for them than they're living right now, that You have a better future for them. But also, Father, and this is not to be made light or lesser, it'll be a sign unto them that this is a place where they can actually come and hear from heaven and be blessed in their life. We thank You for this place here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we talked about, I believe the title on live stream that I put on there was Guarding Against Being Offended at the Word, I think is what it was. Anyways, that's what we talked about. That wasn't the title. And we talked about, well, let me just go to John 6 and verse 65 to dive right in for just a little bit of review. John 6 and verse 65 says this, Jesus said, now the previous verses we read last week, but for time's sake today we won't. But previous verses, Jesus just preached a sermon to what the Bible called many disciples. And we know by His crowds that followed Him, there were lots of people that followed Him. So He's preaching this and they're going back and forth with Him. They're having a little trouble accepting what He's saying. And He says in verse 65, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. This was the end of His sermon. And the Bible says from that time, from what? That specific sermon. Well, what was that sermon? That sermon was the Word of God. That sermon was Jesus, who was God in the flesh, preaching the Word. Amen? That was, the Word is perfection. The Word is help. The Word is life. That was Jesus preaching the Word. And the Bible says from that sermon, many of His disciples, many people that once were with Him, that followed Him, that received from Him, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with him. Well, knowing what we know, Jesus wasn't the problem. Did you understand that? He was not the problem. What he was saying was not the problem. He was speaking truth and life. He was perfection. The hearers had trouble with what he was saying and turned away. Now we know, the Bible says that the words that he speaks are spirit and they are life. They are the ability or have the opportunity to change your world. I've used my own self as an example of sitting under the word and the growth in the things that had a hold on me and the bondages and the chains that busted off of me. I've shared different testimonies of people from different churches that were in grave danger in life and sat under the word and their lives were changed, praise God. I tell the story of, the Bible says in Proverbs 4, we don't need to turn there, but it says in Proverbs 4 verse 20, my son, daughters included, attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my sayings. What's it saying? Give yourself to the word. For they are life unto those that find them. That word life is the God life, the changing life, the supernatural help that you need, and their health to all their flesh. The Bible says that God's word can bring life into your situations and can actually heal your body. Amen. We've had many testimonies of people in our services that walked in sick, walked out a different way. Just, nobody laid hands on them, just from the word. Well, the Bible said in Psalms 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. The word, the Bible talks about in Hebrews, is alive and powerful. Power can change things. It can change darkness to light. Poverty to prosperity. Sickness to health. Depression to joy. Fear to victory. That's what the word can do, praise God. Amen. Absolutely, the word can do that. And I remember the story that Reverends Kevin and Annie Durant told me. They're the ministers that come here. They're coming back in October to be with us again. But they told me the story of a lady that worked at the Bible school that they went to and then taught at for many years and were stationed as their home church out of that Bible school, the same Bible school I went to in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, Rhema Bible Training Center, founded by Brother Hagin or Kenneth E. Hagin. And they told the story, they talked to one of the secretaries, or actually it was one of the ladies that put together all Brother Hagin's books and tapes and things and all the ministry. So she was all day long for 30 to 40 years just listening to his sermons or going through his books and putting things together. And they were talking to her and she said, you know, Rhema wasted their money on their health care plan for me. And they said, well, what do you mean? She was in her 80s now. She said, I haven't been to the doctor in over 40 years. He said, what? Haven't been to the doctor in over 40 years? What do you attribute that to? She said, well, the Bible says the word is health to my flesh. She said, for 8 hours a day, for how many days? Plus I go to church on the weekends, and plus I listen to the word when I go home. She said, all I've been doing is hearing the Bible and listening to the word. Well, the Bible says you hear the word, it'll translate into health. That's what it says. The word is power. The word has changed. So what Jesus was saying to them had the ability, the opportunity to change their life, but they didn't receive it. And they left. And then it says, Jesus said unto the 12, verse 67, thank God the 12 didn't go with the crowd. You know what's amazing? Is that the children of Israel were a tribe of about 2 million people. They estimate. Now, back when God told them in Numbers about the promised land when they had come out of Egypt, he said to them, I'm giving you a land that flows with milk and honey. A promised land is what he gave them. He said, I'll give you a promised land. That's what he told them. You go back and read that story. Now, they sent out spies in the land to look at the land to see what God's given them. And they went out and looked. They said, wow, it is a good place. It is a good place. But there's already people here. There's already cities here. There's already walls here. What are they saying? There's opposition to getting what God said. Well, welcome to life. There's always going to be opposition to getting what God said. God says. Why? Because there's an enemy trying to push us back. But what's amazing about that is God said it was theirs. God spoke life. God spoke something to them that would have changed their forever. And they ran into some opposition. and they didn't believe God. And the Bible says because they didn't believe God, they were kept out. Now, this is what's amazing about that. Two people. Caleb and Joshua. Two people out of 2 million believed what God said. Now, you think that the way the crowds go is the right way to go. Naturally, you think if everybody's going that, it must be the right way to go. But in that case, 2 out of 2 million were right. All the rest were wrong. The Bible says here, many went away, only 12 stayed. The many were wrong, the 12 were right. Amen. He said, will you also go away? Are you going too? He's thinking, everybody else is going. Now notice he didn't say, I'm going to change my messages. I'm going to water down what I'm saying. I'm going to tiptoe in the tulips around it so I don't offend anybody. He didn't say that, did he? Why? He knew he was perfect. He knew what he was saying, had the ability to transform and change. Whether or not they got it or not wasn't up to him. It was up to them. And Peter, being smart here, said, under verse 68, then Simon Peter answered, Lord, where are we going to go? Now look at what he attributed it to. He said, you have the words. He said, the reason we won't leave you is because of what comes out of you. The words of eternal life. The words to radically change everything. Why would we leave that? That's what he's saying. But what we need to point out to you, and that you need to understand, because the word is powerful. And the word can change your life. The Bible says it's quick and powerful. We see in the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 14 that when the word gets sown onto people or spoken to people and they hear it and are good ground, they change. They produce 30, 60, 100-fold fruit. The word causes people to grow. The word causes people to change. The word causes people to get better in life. I ran into a lady in Walmart last week that goes to the Allegheny Church. She's been with me now for a little over 2 years. Came in just a mess. Well, she's been faithful on Tuesday night. She's been faithful on Saturday nights just to hear the word. No angel appeared to her. Jesus didn't walk through her door, lay hands on her. Pastor Mike didn't cast no devils out of her. And I said to her, I said, Becky, I said, tell me, what's life been like since you started coming to church? She got a huge grin, and I saw her pearly whites. She said, Pastor Mike, I can't even tell you the change. Well, what happened? Just sitting under the word. 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 And so many of you could come up here and say, Pastor Mike, I can't tell you the change since we started sitting under the word. Yeah, it's true. But here's what you need to know about that. That this word has the potential. Anything you need, this word has the potential to take you to the maximum blessing of that subject in your life. Amen. You need healing, this word can get you there. You need finances, this word can get you there. You need peace, this word can get you there. It's Him. Nothing lacking with this. But the principle we taught last week and going forward this week with part two of this message is, Jesus was perfect. Jesus spoke perfect words. And yet, some people grew from them and some people stumbled from them. And we saw, without taking time to go there, you can go back and listen, that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And the Bible says that Jesus is the Word. When He was preaching the Word in John 6, He was the Word. The chief cornerstone, what's the cornerstone? The stone with which you build from and build upon. But it also calls Jesus in 1 Peter chapter 2 not only the cornerstone, it calls Him the stumbling block of offense or the stone that caused people to stumble. Some people grow from Him and some people stumble from Him. And yet He's perfect. So you have to, because when Jesus was preaching this, He said to the people, He said, does this offend you? Does what I'm saying, Jesus said, the perfect words I'm saying, offend you or cause you to stumble? And it did. Now, Peter and the 12, it didn't. But my point is this. What do we do around here? Preach the word. Amen. We preach the word around here. That's all we preach. We preach the word. We don't preach philosophies. We don't preach opinions. We don't preach ideas. We don't preach thoughts. We preach the Bible. But you need to know that it has the potential to change your life, but if you're not careful, it'll have the potential to trip you up. and cause you to stumble and not get anything from it. Well, we don't want that, do we? So we're going to talk about today how not to get offended at the Word. Because at some point, it's going to get up underneath your chin. And it's going to be uncomfortable. And it's going to step on your toes. And it's going to push against you and can cause you to be confronted with things in your life. It is. And some people run from that. Some people try to get out from underneath that. That's what they did here. They said, we don't understand this, Jesus. This is uncomfortable for us. This isn't how we were taught it. Remember, they said, our fathers, Jesus was talking about drinking his blood and eating his flesh, you know, talking about partaking of him, not gnawing on his arm, you know, or poking him with a straw. That's not what he meant. And they said, no, our fathers gave us manna. What they were basically saying is a lot of people say, I never was taught this growing up. This must be wrong. I was never taught it. You know, Hitler was convinced he was right. He's convinced. And convinced a lot of people that he was right. But we know he was flat wrong. Well, I wasn't taught this growing up. Well, maybe you're wrong. Oh, I mean, imagine that. You could actually be wrong. Oh, I found out a lot of things that I was wrong about. I found out a lot of things that I was doing the wrong way, that he was not pleased with, that was not cooperating with his plan, that was hurting my own life. I found out a lot of things. A lot of times people don't like to find out they're wrong, but you know what? You might be wrong. But grandma never said, oh, who cares about grandma? Are you going to stand before grandma when you get to heaven? Well, Pastor so-and-so said, who cares what they said if it wasn't the Bible? Are you going to stand before Pastor so-and-so someday? No, you're going to stand before Jesus. And so, we preach the Word around here, and we got to learn how to not be offended at the Word, because there are going to be times it's going to be uncomfortable. There are going to be times it's going to challenge your thinking. There's going to be times it's going to challenge your past. There's going to be times it's going to challenge how you feel about issues. Start talking about issues. Watch people get angry and mad because they feel strongly about an issue. Well, what's God think about it? It only matters what He thinks about it. It only matters what his take is on. It doesn't matter what you feel or what you think. In fact, God didn't give a rip what you feel or what you think, because he said you need to change your mind to him and you need to put this, how you feel, under. Yeah, he don't care about your mind and your flesh and your little thoughts and your past and your little pet peeves and your pet doctrines and your religious traditions that you're holding on to that aren't him. He don't care. Jesus came and destroyed all that. That's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were. They were religious people spouting off just garbage and thinking they were right. And Jesus came and wrecked shop on their whole plan. Said, sorry, you're doing it wrong. Amen. So we got to make sure we're not getting offended at this Word, because this is the Word that can change your world. Are you ready? Number one, praise God, how to not get offended at the Word. Be a lover of Him. What do you mean, Pastor? I love God. I love God. I love God. Then you love tithing. Come on. Wait, say what? Don't talk about my money. Come on. Tithing is the Word. That's right. Now, I love God. Then you love speaking with tongues. Right. What are these? I'm talking about things that rub people the wrong way. Get them a little uncomfortable, but yet are a bit biblical. Psalms, well, first of all, let me just say this. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And I'm here to report the Word was God. Amen. When we share something out of here, whether it's forgiveness, walking in love, faith, the Holy Ghost, holiness, tithing, giving, sowing, whatever it is, it's the Word, it's Him. Amen. Now go to Psalms 119, verse 165. Psalms 119 and verse 165. You want to make sure you don't get offended at the Word? Be a lover of Him. Great peace have they which love thy law or thy word. Well, who is the word? God is the word. So you could say it this way. Great peace have they which love the word, but the word is also him. So you could say, great peace have they which love God. And look at the lovers of God. Nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I hope he doesn't talk about tongues. Oh, I love you, Lord. I hope he doesn't talk about holiness. I love you, Lord. Please don't talk about money today. Oh, I love you, Lord. But don't talk about what the Bible says, how to raise my children. Puts me in an uncomfortable position. Those are him. That's him. Tithing is him. The Holy Ghost is him. Holiness is him. Forgiveness is him. How to raise your kids is him. It's him. It's all him. Amen. And you have a love problem. If any of those things offend you, you have a love problem. But if you, what does it say in John 14 and verse 15? Well, we better look, shouldn't we? John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, if you love me, keep my word. Amen. If you love me, you won't balk against the word. Do you love God? I do. Why don't you tithe? Well, I don't know. Well, tithing is him. If you love me, keep my word. Why are you walking in bitterness and unforgiveness? Well, you don't know what they did to me. Yeah, but the word says to forgive them. Are you a lover of God? I sure am. Are you? I mean, I'm sorry that that's what Jesus said. He didn't mince words. If you love me, if you love me, if you love me, if you love me, praise God. You want to not get offended at the word? Be a lover of him. Be a lover of him. And I'm going to help you through the rest of the message that will bring balance and a wholeness to this message that will help you with this point number one. Number two, go to Isaiah 55. Number one, be a lover of him. Isaiah 55, verse 8. You ready for number two? How did I get offended at the word? Come to grips with this one fact. You don't know it all. You don't... I had Julie take pictures last night in the service. She was in Allegheny. And she sent me some of the pictures after the service. And I can't believe the faces I make when I preach. I mean, it's like... Sometime we'll just put them up there for your... I mean, what in the world are you looking at? Well, I'm up here. I apologize for everything you see. And I was just thinking about some of the faces I've already made today. But anyways, you don't know it all. You don't know it all. Now, why is that an issue? Because what I already talked about with the whole Hitler thing, people think they know everything. Well, that's not how I grew up. That's not what I was taught. That's not what I think. You don't know it all. God knows it all. And sometimes you're going to hear things that you didn't have a clue about or that you thought was one way, and God said it's a whole different way. And if you just come to the grips right now, you don't know it all. I mean, you'll be all right. You'll be all right because the Bible says, and go to Isaiah 55 and verse 8, please. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. God says, the way I think is not how you think. Stop thinking that it is. That's why he said in Romans 12, you got to renew the way you think because you think wrong. Man, when I came into the church, I remember dealing with Reverend Randy, you know, and I came in as a know-it-all, arrogant, and he'd tell me things and about the word, and I would fight him because grandma taught me different. Because my religious church taught me different. And here's someone that just went to Brother Hagin's Bible school, fresh out of Bible school, who knows the word. And I'm arguing with him because I'm a know-it-all. Yeah. Didn't get very far with that. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, said the Lord. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, So are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Proverbs says this way, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ways thereof lead to death. We think we know everything, but we don't. That's why we got to learn it, praise God. Why do we need to learn it? Because the Bible says ignorance is not bliss. That's a worldly term. Ignorance is bliss, you know. What you don't know can't hurt you. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches what you don't know absolutely can hurt you. What you don't know will absolutely cause you to struggle and to lack. That's why we got to learn what we don't know so we can do things different. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember, you know, the first time Caleb and Abby picked up a baseball bat, they didn't hold it the right way. They didn't stand the right way. They didn't know. They had to be shown how to do it the right way. Amen. You don't know it all. Number one, be a lover of Him. Number two, come to grips with you don't know it all. Number three, go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Your greatest chance of getting offended at what's going to help you is going to come the same exact way that it came in John chapter 6. Somebody's going to say it to you in a form of preaching, most likely me, because I'm the one you're going to hear the most if you come here, is going to be said to you, and your opportunity to get offended at what I say is going to be looming or there for the taking, just like it was for Jesus. Most people are not searching their Bibles at home, finding things and saying, that offends me. That God, that offends me. Well, most people aren't searching their Bibles at all, to tell you the truth. But when you come here, you're hearing the Word. And a lot of people take it out on me and will get offended at me. But here's what you need to understand. Where did I say to go? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Look what Paul said. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, when he preached it, they heard it. You heard of us, or you heard it from a man. The word came out of a man, came out of Jesus' mouth too. He said, you received it not as a word from a man, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Well, how dare Pastor Mike say that to me? Did I preach the Bible to you? If I did, you didn't receive it as the Word of God. You received it as my own thoughts. I remember dealing with a person a while back, you know, stuck in a rut of unforgiveness. I mean, wouldn't let it go. It was the thing they kept going to and just kept causing stumbling block. Nothing could go forward in this situation until somebody finally just said, I forgive you. It's over with. I'm going to act like God. You know, all these people that hold grudges and stuff, man, you ought to be glad God doesn't treat you the way you treat people. All you people that run your mouth about people that had past that were wrong and do wrong, you ought to be thankful people don't. God didn't treat you that way. My God. My God. You wanted His mercy. You want your sins forgiven so you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to pay the price. But you want to bury people in theirs. Woo-wee! I said, woo-wee! That's what I said. It's true. It's true. Bible says they that want to receive judgment without mercy are the ones that are giving no mercy. But they that want to receive judgment with mercy are the ones that will be merciful on the ones that deserve judgment. Amen. Amen. And I was dealing with somebody who said, I can't forgive them. I can't forgive them. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell. The Bible says the love of God is in your heart. The Bible says the love of God is. I'm sorry to tell you, little grudge holders, the love of God is in your heart. I can't forgive them. Yeah, you can. Christ hung on the cross and said, forgive them, forgive them. That person that just jammed that crown on my head, forgive them. That person that just jammed the nails in my hands and feet, forgive them. That person that just beat me to a bloody pulp, forgive them. How could he do it? The love of God, the love of God, the love of God. And I kept telling that person, your life is hurting, your life is hurting, your life is hurting because you won't forgive, you won't forgive, you won't forgive, you won't forgive. How am I? And they said to me, I can't believe you tell me to forgive, to forgive. Well, Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive. This is what Jesus said. When you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anybody. Well, that covers everything. That's what Jesus said. I just said what Jesus said. And this is what they said. We're receiving it as God. Now, see, I bet you if Jesus was standing before him and said, brother, I told you to forgive. But see, this person was saying to me, I can't believe you tell me to forgive in that situation. I said, did I tell you to forgive? Yeah, you're telling me to forgive. I said, did I tell you to forgive? Yeah, you told me to forgive. I said, did I tell you to forgive or did Jesus tell you? You did. This is a true story. You told me. I said, no, I didn't tell you. I repeated it. I purported it, but I didn't tell you to forgive. Jesus told you. No, you're telling me. I said, Mark 11, 25 says, when you stand praying, forgive. I didn't tell you, but what happened? They didn't receive it as the word of God. They received it as Pastor Mike giving them a hard time. Pastor Mike, why are you talking about my money? Could give me a hard time about my money. Oh, no, I'm just telling you the word of God that can transform your money if you'll do it. I want to raise my kids how I want to. I'm the dad. I'm the mom. Well, God knows how to raise your kids better than you do. But you don't, people don't receive it as from, and they hear me preach on something. Or we'll get in a meeting, you know. And I'll tell, I remember a meeting in the old building, in the old sanctuary. Had a meeting in the old office. And I was sitting there. And the couple that I met with bickered, sat there and bickered for about 45 minutes. I'd say something, they'd start on each other. Finally, I told them, I said, oh, but you're not there. You don't know. I'm telling them what the Bible says. I'm saying, this is what love would do for your wife. This is what love would do for your husband. Oh, but you don't understand. See, I'm just a man telling them stuff that's bothering them. Not receiving it as the word of God. And finally, after 45 minutes, I threw my hands up in there and slammed my hands. I said, this meeting's over. I said, I want to thank you both. This is what I said. I want to thank you both for wasting 45 minutes of my life that I'll never be able to get back because of you. Meeting's over. We're going to listen to me as the word. Fine, 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 but you're not going to waste my time. Paul said when the preacher preaches the word, it's like God saying it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Praise the name of Jesus. I must try to help you because this word will help you. All Scripture, every bit of word you find from the front page to the back page, whether you agree with the doctrine, whether you like the doctrine, whether you've never heard of the doctrine, whether you are comfortable with the doctrine, all Scripture, everybody say all. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Everything that's in this book is given. One translation says it this way, is God breathed. It's in here because He wanted it in here. If He wouldn't have wanted tithing in here, wouldn't have been in here. If He wouldn't have wanted forgiving everybody for everything, He wouldn't have put it in there. If He didn't think praying in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Ghost was important, it wouldn't have made it in here. But God thought it fit to put it in there. Yes. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And look at what it is. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, look at this. That the man of God, women God included, just talk about mankind. Look at what the Word can do. Oh, look at what the Word can do through Scripture. May be perfect, thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works. Then look what he says in chapter 4. He goes on to Timothy. He tells Timothy, who's a young pastor, you know what the word is? The word is God-breathed. The word is God's will. And the word can translate into people's lives being thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It can change people's lives, Timothy, is what he's saying. He then says in chapter 4, verse 1, because of what I just said to you, Timothy, I charge you as a minister, as a person that's going to have people's ears under his ministry and listening to what he's saying, because I just told you the word is from God and it can change their life. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead as appearing in his kingdom, verse 2, Because of what I just said to the precious people. Don't you get up there and spout opinions. Don't you get up there and spout feelings and thoughts and ideas and philosophies and theories. Philosophies and theories and thoughts and ideas don't change people's lives, but preach the Word. The Word. What is the Word? The front to the back. The Word of God. God breathed, able to help them. Amen. So when Pastor Mike tells the person that's stuck in a rut of unforgiveness, forgiveness will set you free, that's not me trying to rub them the wrong way. When Pastor Mike sits in a meeting, people are struggling year after year after year. I say, are you tithing yet? No, start tithing. That's not me trying to rub you the wrong way. It's me telling you the Word that will change your life. Amen. When Pastor Mike's in there and says, I don't care that you were raised not to pray in tongues, that you were raised and it's uncomfortable to your flesh. You want your life to change? Get filled with the Holy Ghost, which power will come on you, and your life will be changed. I don't know what you want me to say. Preach from the Quran or some different manual, I guess. No. Number one, be a lover of Him. Number two, you don't know it all. Number three, the Word preached is from God. Now, number four, and last but not least, we're in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. If you're a note taker, the Word preached will bring correction. How many of you just love being told no? I mean, you just love it. You love being told you're wrong. You love being told you're doing it wrong. I mean, isn't that just the greatest? I mean, if there's one thing that I could sign up for every day, it would be to go through a whole day of just everybody denying what I want to do and telling me I'm wrong. Well, we hate it, don't we? I'm being sarcastic if you can't tell. We don't like being told we're wrong. We don't like when we get corrected. But the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Thanks, buddy. Correction. Correction. It's profitable to be corrected. Well, if we'd have number two, you don't know it all down in our heart, we would understand. We're definitely getting corrected because we don't know it all. Amen. You know what Caleb and Abby's life is constantly filled with? Correction. You want to know why? They don't know it all. I don't either, but I know way more than them. And I'm their guide in life. So what happens all the time? Correction. All the time, correction. Why? They don't know it all. And it's profitable for me to correct them. Well, God is our Father, knows way more than us. He knows, hey, you guys don't know it all. It's profitable for me to correct you. How am I going to do it? Through my Word. How do I correct Caleb and Abby? Through my Word. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Janae, would you please pull that up in the Amplified Bible? Look what it says. He just gets done saying, and herald and preach the Word. What Word? That Word that can change your life and thoroughly furnish you. That's God-breathed. Preach that Word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome. He says, no matter what the crowd's looking at you, how they're acting, you preach the Word. You can go to the next slide, please. You, as a preacher of the Word, are to show people, oh, people love this, to show people in which way their lives are wrong. One thing that the preacher of the Word's going to do is stand up and highlight, because the Word is light, the Bible says, and put a big fat spotlight on your life of what's wrong. But be thankful for that. Why? Because it's not the things you're doing right that's helping you. It's the things you're constantly doing wrong that's hurting you. The things you're doing right's helping you. The things you're doing wrong is hurting you. Right? The things you're doing wrong are not helping you. And convince them. How? Rebuke and correct them. Warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. I remember years ago sitting over there. When I point over there, I'm pointing to the storefront where we started in the back office with a couple. Not doing what the Word says to do. So much so that God gave me a vision of what would happen in their lives if they didn't change. Now, I've only had a few visions, but this was one of them. And I won't go into too much detail, But it involves some grave things happening if they didn't get it right. And I sat there and showed them, and I warned them, and I warned them, and I urged them, and I urged them, and I corrected them. That's wrong thinking. That's wrong behavior. Say, Pastor, what makes you the authority? If I bring it to the Word, that's what makes me the authority. It wasn't they were wrong on my account. It wasn't they were wrong on what I thought. The Bible said, you're going the wrong way. And I warned and I warned and I urged and I urged and I tried to convince and show and was exhausting in doing it to spare them. And they didn't do the Word. And exactly what I saw in the vision came to pass in their life. Didn't have to be. Show people which way their lives are wrong. Hebrews 12 and verse 6. Hebrews 12 and verse 6. Can't get offended at the Word. It's going to challenge the way you think. It's going to challenge the way you were raised. It's going to challenge the way you feel. It's going to challenge the way you think. You know that part of that song, I Surrender All, I didn't even realize it when I had on my heart to sing that, is surrendering to His Word. Okay, Lord, this is how I feel about a subject. This is what I think about a subject, but you know what? I surrender all. What's surrendering all mean? Surrendering how you feel. Surrendering how you think about things. Surrendering how you carry out your life to His Word. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. That's not where I want to go. The heck did I go there for? Did I say 12 and verse 6? That's what I said. I said it first. See, you don't like being wrong, even there. Even there. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not trying to be funny. Even there in my flesh, didn't like being wrong. I didn't like being wrong. I didn't like going the same. My flesh didn't like that. It made me uncomfortable. It just shows our natural man hates being wrong. I hated that just now. Bad me. Bad me. It's true, though. I was like, urgh. Hebrews 12 and verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. What does that mean? Well, go on. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he? The father chastens not. But if you be without chastisement or correction, whereof all you are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. What's he saying? A father of his. I'm a father in the flesh to him, and I correct him. And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much be in more subjection under the Father of spirits and then live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. What's He saying? Correction through the Word brings profit in your life. I'm so thankful I've learned how to raise my kids the Word's way. It's saved and helped me so much. And I watch parents that don't do it the Word's way, and I watch the struggle. And I watch the frustration, and I watch the round and round, the merry-go-round they go on of their kids running the show, and their kids having their way, and their kids making their life a living hell. Well, that's the way it would have been for me had I not been taught how to. Pastor Nancy Dufresne taught me how to raise my kids. Woo-wee! That lady knows how to raise some kids. She does. And look what it says in verse 11. Now, no chastening, no correction for the present seems joyous. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. But grievous. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. What's he saying? When you get corrected by the Word, it doesn't seem joyous. When you find out you're doing your marriage wrong, raising your kids wrong, doing your finances wrong, doing things in life that are not helping you, it doesn't seem joyous. But the Bible says if you'll let it work on you, afterward, when you change that and start doing it God's way, it'll start yielding fruit. Yeah. So thankful for His Word, the compass that says you're going the wrong way. You're doing it wrong. That's not right. That's going to hurt you, son. Right. And I've told people, that's why I truly believe that I am God's favorite on this earth. Because the Bible says He corrects those whom He loves. And let me tell you what, I've been corrected a lot. So that proves to me I am well loved. Praise God. And people, you know, that don't receive correction, do you know what you're saying? I'm perfect. Why would you Why would you need to tell me anything? I'm doing wrong. I'm already perfect. That's dangerous. That's called pride. Yeah. You got to guard against getting offended at this, people. Because a lot of places, one way Paul writes it is that people have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. They deny the power. A lot of people gather around this in churches, and they have a form of it, and it looks a certain way. They'll raise their hands, and they'll sing the songs. And then this gets put out, and it's some watered down. They're called seeker-sensitive churches. If you don't think they're real, they're real. Just watch TV a little bit. Watch TV a little bit. Watch TV in these mega places. See how much they're talking about sin. See how much they're talking about money. See how much they're talking about holiness. See how much they're talking about raising kids the right way. See how much they're talking about speaking in tongues. Go ahead, I dare you. They won't do it. Why? Because when Jesus preached the word, people left him. They don't want people to leave. Well, I don't want people to leave either, but I'm not going to keep people by feeding them fluff either. Amen. I'm not going to do it. And so when the true word is preached, there's always going to be opportunities for you to stumble on it or to grow from it. And today was to help you not stumble or trip up on it. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We praise the name of Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done. Lord, all that you've given us. We're so thankful. Father, we want to be humble to receive this. We want to be people of humility that, you know, it's like this, Lord, you know, if I were to go to school for a subject or whatever, mechanical engineering or speech pathology or whatever, I would go in there not knowing anything. And things I would hear would be all brand new to me, and I wouldn't sit there and think, well, that's not right. Well, I don't agree with that. Father, it seems like your word is the only place that people do that. It's because the devil influences. People come in not knowing anything. They haven't been taught anything. And they hear something. Well, I don't agree with that. Well, you wouldn't do that in college. Well, I don't agree with that. There's a better way to do speech pathology. There's a better way. Well, you'd sound like an idiot. Lord, help people to be humble. Help people to receive this word. Father, it's the engrafted word sown into them that gets planted in them that will change them forever. And Father, there's always going to be a chance, always going to be opportunity for it to rub us the wrong way, for us to not agree with it, for us not to be comfortable with it. But Father, the word is perfect. We're the imperfect vessels that the word needs to permeate to help us get those imperfections out. So Father, I pray for each and every person here and that my fruit would remain from this message. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. Everybody ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? When I ask myself that question, I know. I'm going to heaven. You say, Pastor, how can you be so sure? Because the Word tells me. A lot of people think they're going to go to heaven because they were a good person, or they were moral, or they did the right thing, or they've been to church. Big deal. Who cares? You don't go to heaven by going. You don't get into heaven by being a church attender. You don't get into heaven because you were a good person. You don't go into heaven because you were generous. Your good deeds outweighed your bad deeds. You endeavored to be the best person you can. No. The Bible says Jesus is the only way to heaven. In fact, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, there were a guy on each side of him. One guy mocked him. The other guy, who was dying because he was a criminal, said to Jesus, I believe in you. And Jesus said, you're in. Believing in Jesus is the litmus test of getting into heaven. That guy wasn't a church attender. That guy's good deeds didn't outweigh his bad. That guy was not moral. And I want to give everybody an opportunity to receive Jesus here this morning. It's your only way into heaven. And Jesus didn't mince words either, did he? He said, I am the way. I am the way. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, don't want anybody to feel embarrassed or shy or shame. That's not, I'm trying to be bossy and asking people to do that. Just don't want people to be embarrassed. Don't want that to get in the way of receiving something that will change their lives. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. See, I never ask myself that question or wonder about that. Say, Pastor, I don't know for sure if I'd go to heaven or not. But I can tell you this, Pastor Mike, I believe in Jesus. I might not understand everything about him, and it challenges me a little bit, but in my heart of hearts, I believe in Jesus. Well, man, if you could say that, you are qualified for heaven. The next step is just to receive Him, to ask Him into your heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here, I won't embarrass you. I won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. I promise you. If you want to receive Jesus with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hand in there? Is there anyone at all that wants to receive the Lord this morning? Anybody at all that wants to receive the Lord that's never done it before? I don't want to rush this. Sometimes people are shy, maybe. Anybody want to receive Jesus? Just lift your hand in the air. Anybody? Father, I don't see any hands in the building. So I trust that everybody here is born again, walking with you. But if by chance somebody isn't, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord. And let me stress, it's not about the raising the hands that gets people born again. It's the receiving of Jesus. So if you're here, you say, I didn't want to raise my hand. If you're listening and you say, Pastor, you couldn't see if I raised my hand. It's not the raising of the hand. It's the confessing and believing in Jesus. Just cry out to Him. Cry out to Him and mean it from your heart. And just simply acknowledge that you believe in Him. Say, Lord, I believe You died and rose again. And I ask You to come into my heart. If you'll pray that, the Bible says you called on His name, you'll be saved. Eternity in heaven is yours. Shoot us an email on the website there. Give us a phone call. We'll get you hooked up in a Bible teaching church. Learn about all the good things that He has for us. Father, thank You so much for this day. Lord, this is a keep safe service. This is a keeping us safe type of service. Let's all just stand to our feet and worship Him this morning and thank Him for what He's done and give Him praise and glory. Thank You for the Word. We welcome the Word. We welcome the correctable, the rebuking, the reproving Word that it is. We welcome that. We love You and we praise Your name. We bless Your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget some good goodies over in the fellowship hall. You are dismissed.